Part Epilogue, The Knife Part 2, February 2026, the same apartment, the cell, but no longer quite empty. There are some things of my own now, a yoga mat, a meditation cushion, notes on the fridge, no sacrifice required. My fear is not a prophecy. The kitten should be cherished. A cat who comes and lies on my left shoulder, purrs, warm. The knife lies on the kitchen counter. I don't touch it. It's just a knife, a kitchen knife, the one I used to cut bread. A year ago, it was different. A year ago, it was a question. A year ago, I stood here in this kitchen and asked, what for? And found no answer. And the hand reached, and the silence in which there was no voice, except the one that whispers, why? Now the knife is just a knife. Not a question, not an answer, not a symbol, an object in the kitchen, next to the cup and the plate. Three times it appeared in this book. The first, Fitya gave it while drunk. I slashed, he grabbed it. The second, the prologue, I put down the knife, for now. The third, now. I don't touch it. Three different relationships with the same object, three different states, three different me's. The one who took it, the one who put it down, for now, and the one who doesn't touch it. Not because she's afraid, not because she forgot, but because beside her there is another voice, quiet, kind, the one that never existed in all of childhood, the one that had to be created from nothing. I don't know what will happen. Don't know if the insomnia will leave. Don't know if I'll ever feel joy. That simple, ordinary joy other people feel on Tuesdays. I don't know. And this, for the first time, doesn't frighten me the way it used to. Before, I don't know, was unbearable. Because I don't know equals loss of control, equals danger, equals trash heap, equals fence. Before, I had to know everything in advance. Plan, calculate, have a backup. And a backup for the backup. Now, I just don't know and breathe. And the cat lies on my shoulder. And the knife on the counter is just a knife. For now. For now is not a threat. It's honesty. I haven't healed. Haven't beaten depression. Haven't found myself once and for all. I'm in process, on the path. In the same forest where the trees are still dark, but between them, clearings. And I walk. Every day. One step at a time. As I've walked since age 6, only now, not alone, with a cat on my shoulder, with a voice inside, with notes on the fridge, with this book, for now. This book is my testimony, not an instruction, not a recipe, not do as I did and everything will work out. A testimony, here, one woman made it through, with a knife, with guilt, with a bottle, with a child. With a husband, with grandmother's curse, with mother's death, with the number 42, with 12 modalities, with 20 years of insomnia. Made it through, not to the end, but through. And still walking. And if you're reading this and recognizing yourself, it means you're already on the path. It means you can already see. It means the resolution has increased. It means something inside you that was frozen for 30 or 40 years is beginning to thaw. Don't rush. The body doesn't work like that. Just breathe. For now. Inhale. Exhale. One more day. Chapter the Candle. The evening the book was finished, I did a ritual for my mother. For the first time. I'd done one for my grandmother, for Vitya, for Maxim, for my mother. Never. 40 years now. Never. 2 wax candles, a woolen thread between them. Left one, mine. Right one, my mother's. You light both at the same time. Watch them burn. Say, take what's yours. I don't need what isn't mine. I lit them. The fire burned steady. Wax flowed. I looked at my mother's candle and gave back everything that had piled up over 40 years. The guilt for not saving her, the hatred for her not coming, the hope that rotted, the number 42 that had lived in my body like a death sentence, the fear that I'm next, the shame of being her daughter, the love that was choking me, all of it, take it, it's yours. The thread caught fire. I waited for the candles to burn down to the end, like always. They went out, both, at once. When a third had burned, the thread flared and blew out the flame. My mother's candle went dark. Mine, too. Two-thirds of the candle left untouched. Two-thirds of a life. Looks a lot like 42. My body clenched instantly, jaw locked, hands went cold. Inside, a ready-made conclusion. Familiar. Automatic. The one I've been falling into my whole life without noticing the fall. So it's true. So it's a curse. So it'll all end the way grandmother said. Before, I would have fallen in, completely, wouldn't even have noticed. But this time I noticed, not the thought, myself inside the thought. As if for the first time I saw the mechanism from the outside, not from within. Here's the candle, here's the fear, here's the conclusion already formed. And here, me, separate from the conclusion, one breath away, a pause. Small, almost invisible. 100 times I'd been told, you don't have to believe your thoughts. In therapy, in books, in groups. Every time it sounded like a joke. A thought comes, and you're already inside it. It doesn't feel like aversion. It feels like truth. There's no distance. There's no pause. Just, this is how it is. Period. But here a pause appeared. I didn't argue with the thought, didn't try to prove it wrong. I simply chose not to believe it. We went out together, but I'll light mine again. I picked up the candle, brought a match, lit it, and said out loud, I buried my mother. There she is. There's the coffin. Goodbye. Hatred, rage, grief, loss, sorrow, sadness, loneliness, and longing. It all burns. I'm cleansing myself. All curses lifted. Let 42 stay with you. I will live long. More than 104 years. I didn't touch my mother's candle. My mother stayed dark. My mother's story ended at 42. Mine didn't. The candle burned. Something in my chest was unclenching. Slowly, like a fist that had been clenched for 40 years and finally got tired. And only later I understood what had happened. Between the candle that went out and the match I brought to it, there was a gap, a second that fit a choice inside it. Before, that second didn't exist. Stimulus, reaction. Candle went out, means I'll die. Grandmother yelled, means I'm bad. Vitya went silent, means he'll leave. Arseny screamed, means I'm like my mother. A whole life, without pause, without a gap, without a choice. But here the gap appeared, and in it, me, not new, not healed, the same, with all the scars, with the whole zoo inside, but for the first time, with the right not to believe what the old voice says. 1 second. That's what I took from this whole story, a second between a thought and believing it. Everything fits inside that second, a different decision, a different life, a match brought to a candle that went out. If there's one thing worth taking from this whole book, take this. Not the conclusions, not the explanations. This moment, you look at a thought you've believed your whole life, and you choose a different one, and life stops being someone else's script. The candle burned to the end. On the table next to it lay a book. This book, the one you just read. A year ago, a knife lay on this table. Now, a candle and a book. Knife to candle to book. 3 objects, 3 states. 1 woman. The one who held the knife. The one who lit the candle. And the one who wrote. Chapter, I'm only at the beginning. I want to be honest about one more thing. I haven't completed this path. I'm on it. I'm still 41. As I write these lines, March 2026, the child hasn't screamed in 2 months. Vitya has become softer and I'm showing him my feelings. He thinks I've become overly sensitive and angry. I still live separately from my family. In my cell, I still haven't returned, though I want to very much. Every day I want to, but I need more time, more silence, more getting used to the fact that Arseny doesn't scream every day, that Vitya is beginning to see me, not as a function, but as a woman, that you can be near people and not clench. This is not a happy ending. This is a process, slow, spiral, with setbacks. A CA steps are not a staircase you climb once with a prize at the top. It's a spiral. You go through the first step, and 6 months later go through it again, only deeper. You go through the fourth, and a year later see patterns you didn't see the first time. The 9th, 10th, 11th. They don't end. They're for life. Daily inventory, daily meditation, daily choice, kind voice or critic. I'm still watching my life unfold and change. I don't know how it ends, whether I'll return to Vitya, whether I'll be able to be the mother I want to be. I'm writing this book not from the point of, I made it. I'm writing from the point of, I'm making it, right now. One day at a time, one breath at a time, and while I'm making it, I can tell you what it looks like from inside. Not after, not from a beautiful finale, from the middle, from the process, from the place where nothing has ended yet, but it's no longer what it was. That's more honest than a happy ending, and maybe more useful, and more alive.